told you I found you a perfect match. Chosen by science, but you had to marry them right this second. You would tell me, well, that sounds pretty whack. And I would add, you have 8 weeks to know if you really love them. You just got married at first sight. Jason and Asia gonna tell you wrong from right. Are all these couples just disasters waiting to happen? Imagine if one of them could be a perfect match.
Woo! Wasn't that amazing? What y'all just heard was our new intro song. Thank you so much to Will from America for putting together that great intro song. I am so hyped up. This is a perfect match, a Married at First Sight podcast. I'm Asia, and I am here with my co-host, who is often, always taking selfie videos during our podcast. You can't see it because we're not on video, but he usually is taking selfie videos while he podcasts about Married at First Sight, Jason Reed.
Asia, thank you for exposing my secret. Sometimes you may be able to hear the camera shutter if I have not silenced my phone. That's okay. Yes, a banger indeed that we now have for our theme music. I feel like we are even more official than we have been with a new theme song. I have a theme song. Like, you know, we had it a few days before this. So, I mean, you know, don't ask my wife. My wife will tell you I've been walking around the house playing it day and night. You know, they're sick of it by now, but I have a theme song.
Playing it like Steve's mom.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. please excuse my voice. It is not the melodic tone that you are all used to. Some would say Barack Obama, some would say Seth Rogen. I am under the weather, testing negative so far for COVID, but I don't know how long that's gonna last. So please excuse if I have to drop out a couple of times for coughing, or you know, you can't take my newly even deeper voice at the moment. But Asia, before we get officially started, I did have a prepared statement that I wanted to make. If you give me a second, I have some prepared words. Last week, I made a joke about using my wife as a human shield in case an intruder broke into our bedroom. Mm-hmm. This joke was callous and immature and factually incorrect. I would never, ever treat my wife in such a terrible manner, as she is the most loving, beautiful, understanding, and considerate wife you will find anywhere. And I apologize for making such a terrible joke at her expense. I also like to add, this statement was made of my own free will and under no threat of harm, and written by me and me alone. Is that good? We're good now? Okay. Hey, get your hand off my neck. Okay. Yes.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I am so glad you offered us that genuine apology, because, wow. Yes. Just, you shocked the world.
Written by me and me alone.
Right.
No one had a hand in writing that but me.
Jason's wife.
Right. No, not scientists. Just me. Just me.
Oh, okay. Very believable. Very believable.
I hope so.
Right. But yes, we are here to talk about episode 5 of season 15 of Married at First Sight. We have been having a blast so far talking about this season. And if the theme song didn't make us official enough, we also have a Facebook page. You can find us at A Perfect Match Podcast. The password is steamy showers. So definitely go join the Facebook group. We've been having a lot of fun this week talking about Married at First Sight. Thank you all so much to those who've joined so far. Love seeing your faces, being able to put some, you know, listens to faces. If that's a thing. But we've been having a great time talking about Married at First Sight in the Facebook group. So definitely go join the Facebook group. Also, make sure you subscribe to our feed, the Love at First Sight feed, and subscribe, rate, and review, because we definitely love to hear the feedback. want to shout out a couple of ratings that we have received on the feed. This is from Loglins, L-O-G-L-I-N-Z, as titled Best Mavs Coverage. Love your take on the show. You are great together, and I laugh through the whole podcast. Hey, thank you so much, because I'd be laughing too.
Yes. Thank you, Loglins. That was a very nice message. The one that I want to read is from Wendy O 1121. It is titled My Favorite Mavs Podcast. Every week, I look forward to hearing Asia and Jason recapping the latest Mavs episode. It's like sitting down with a couple of friends, and I always look forward to getting their insight. They're funny and always have great banter and feedback. Thanks to you both so much. Thank you, Wendy O. Great review. Love it. We love hearing from you guys. Please keep them coming. We really appreciate it. We love hearing the feedback.
Yes, yes, yes. Love it, love it, love it. So I don't think there's any news in the world of Married at First Sight, unfortunately. So we can hop right in.
Let's get to it. Who are we going to first?
We are going to go ahead. I know I feel like they really hyped up this couple in terms of entertainment value for this episode. So we can start with Kristen and Mitch. So we had a lot going on with them this episode. Oh, not a lot. Like, we only had a couple scenes, maybe like four or five scenes, but a lot of substance. So did you notice? Oh, maybe I should ask you. You just went on vacation.
Yeah.
Do you and your wife sleep in your robes, hotel robes?
No. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you brought this up. I like one of my pet peeves, one of the things that really grinds my gears, is this fake wake up.
Mm-hmm. It's like, a lot.
Like, I'm supposed to believe that you did not know that you just woke up and the camera mm-hmm. was just there.
Yep. Very natural. You know, like, you know, typically even influencers on Instagram and TikTok, they make fun of the fact that they have to set up their camera, show them waking up, then cut. We know y'all aren't waking up to the cameras. If anything, the wake up should be that, like a selfie video, like, hey, we just woke up. Ha ha ha. Not this fake, oh, I'm in a robe. Stretch, how'd you sleep? As if y'all didn't say good morning and chop it up with the production crew 15 minutes before this.
You didn't have coffee with the cameraman and producers before this all happened. Like, you didn't get up 5 minutes ago and open the door for the cameraman. Especially with, like, who was it? Like, Miguel. Who, like, Lindy had to wake up Miguel. Wake up, Miguel. Like, yeah. Miguel. You knew the camera people were there, unless you were just as heavy of a sleeper that you did not realize there was probably about 15 people in the room with you.
Exactly. So, yeah, very odd.
Yeah.
So we get their activity, their honeymoon activity. So we know that for the couples that are on their honeymoon, we're at day three of their marriage. They are in Puerto Vallarta. Did you notice halfway through the episode when they put the location on the screen, they had it spelled wrong once? Yes, they had V-A-L-L-A-R-T-E. It ends in an A. And I was like, y'all should have caught that.
Puerto Vallarta.
Right? Because I literally spent like 5 minutes trying to teach my mom how to say it because we were talking about it. Because my mom's in town.
Of course, you've been there probably about 20 times. So you have it now, Pat.
I haven't been once.
And as an Asia wealth vacation destination for those that didn't know.
No. I've only been to Mexico and Cancun in Mexico. Okay.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So they go paddleboarding, which is actually really fun. I really enjoy paddleboarding myself. He said this is very distressing for him, which, Mitch, why are you so stressed right now?
Mitch is really going, put himself through it. I mean, it's a lot.
It's self-inflicted. So he was like, he was looking forward to this because he's like, hey, it's the first time I'm going to be able to see her in a bikini. So they had fun, it seemed, you know, haha, laughing, falling off the board, you know, seemed like they had a great time. And so they kind of sit down after the activity and just kind of, they're just getting to know each other a little bit better, you know. And she says she thinks so far he's a good travel buddy. She said she realized a couple of her non-negotiables were like someone who's passionate and someone who is funny. So she's glad to see that he is passionate about the work that she he does, because one example she gave was that, you know, she doesn't consider herself wasteful, but she appreciates that he reminds her to be more considering of it.
I appreciate you telling me every 5 minutes how what I'm doing is environmentally wrong and killing the planet.
Yes, like that. It's almost the equivalent of, you know, if someone is vegetarian or vegan and they're constantly calling out you eating meat as if you are also living that lifestyle.
Eating a hamburger, like, you know, you're committing murder right now, right? Right.
Everybody just respect what everybody wants to do, eating wise, living wise.
Why just take it to a farm? You can stab a cow yourself.
Right. I totally imagine Mitch being that guy. Like, even on the after party, they talked about how they got like some like ice or like a snow cone or something. And he had to eat it like a savage because he didn't want to use the plastic spoon.
Crazy. You know, I would imagine if anyone breaks up with Mitch, like, you know, the next thing they do is they go like rent like a Hummer or something and just like pull up to Mitch's house and like rev the engine, do a couple donuts in his front yard. Like, how's this for the environment, Mitch?
Right. Exactly. So they talk about how like they have been laughing at each other's jokes. He points out that like they both have like an inappropriate sense of humor. He's like, yeah, like sex is funny. She's like, is it?
How do you mean?
What is funny about sex?
Oh, my gosh.
So she feels like there is some attraction there. Like on her end, she's feeling like there is attraction, but they're moving slower than she wants. And so they decide to like pinky promise to keep laughing. And she's like, oh, this is like our version of a kiss. And he's like, totally.
Like, yep. So proud of it.
So proud. I'm sorry. Day three. I mean, even day three in a dating relationship, that would be probably, you'd probably be thinking like, hey, why haven't we kissed yet?
Yeah.
So we get this very odd scene of what we typically don't get something like this. I mean, we've seen people talk like or make references to talking to their family on the honeymoon, but we get this call. Mitch is calling his brother Matt. He's like, look, man, everything on paper adds up. And I could see why we were matched, but I just don't see the physical spark. Like, I don't know what to do. And his brother's like, hey, like, she's cute. So there could be something.
He's like, I mean, at least she's kind of cute. Like, why are you tripping? Like, I don't know. By the end of this conversation, he's like literally crying.
Yeah.
He's on the phone with his brother. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to kiss her. I think she's ugly. Like, bitch, how? Like, I don't understand. I really don't understand I get that Mitch is like neurotic. Put a lot of pressure on himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going overboard. And even if you're not, you know, as he keeps saying, physically attracted to her by day three.
Yeah.
Like, no one's putting pressure on him but himself. He's got to just relax. And I think it would come to him in due time. This is a stressful situation, as everyone keeps saying. So I think if he just relaxed, he would find it.
Yeah, he's like, he feels this pressure that she's not putting onto him. He's putting onto himself because he feels the pressure to make this work because his family is involved, you know. Just enjoy, just relax, just get to know each other.
Just to jump like ahead a little bit, like just the pressure that he's putting on himself then ends up forcing her to put pressure on him in another way,
mm-hmm.
which we'll get to. But like he's creating this like, his own demise basically in this relationship by doing this nonsense.
Exactly. It just doesn't make sense. It's as if I don't know if it reminds me of Alyssa from last season of just like looking for something to be wrong. It's different because I start to think that he is looking for something legitimate to be wrong because he just can't reveal the real reason. But it's like, I mean, he says he's not physically attracted.
It just kind of reminds you of like self-sabotage. Like, I think that's a good word that would fall into this. Like, because Kristen is an attractive woman. Like,
yeah,
there's no doubting that. It's just, you know, on the after party, Rudy asked him, it's like, what is like your normal type if you're not into Kristen?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, typically I'm attractive like a Jessica Biel type. And I was like,
so okay. You have to get, and what is that exactly?
Plain person? Like, I don't know. Jessica
Biel, like, does he can't mean me. Like brunette, because Kristen has brunette with like blonde highlights, right?
Unfortunately, I think it might be like, I don't want it. Like, you know what? I'm not even going to say it. I'm not even going to say it because I don't want
to say it for the Facebook group.
Yeah, we'll talk about it there.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think half of it is just he's getting in his own head. That's just it.
Absolutely. And so they he decides like he needs to say something. He can't just not say something. So they go to dinner. And she can already feel like obviously their physical connection hasn't been there. And so she's just trying to be as optimistic as she can. She's like, I'll take anything at this point. A hand graze. It's like, oh, yeah. Kristen.
You don't have to settle for this, Kristen. You are right. so much better than this. Like, and it's getting to the point where I like probably Kristen, you know, one of the top people that I like in the mm-hmm. cast. Because she's funny. She's like, you know, she's like a nice person. She's like, but she's like, this is beneath her. She seems so desperate for this.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and I know we talked about it last time. I just honestly feel like she wants this so bad that she's willing to put up with anything. Unfortunately, this is what she's having to put up with. And she says today is like her favorite day. And he's like, yeah, we didn't go out that far or that long. And the boards weren't great.
He had to complain. He had to complain about it. I was like, why did you say it like that? Like,
exactly.
Did you have fun or not? You know, he says more than he needs to.
Yes, exactly. And he's just like, look, I'm just glad you haven't, you know, rushed anything. And she's like, look, it's not that I'm sexually frustrated, because we just got married, but I would be more comfortable advancing in the physical department. And I give props to Kristen for bringing this up, because it is early, but you don't want to get 6 weeks into the marriage and this has not been discussed.
Well, I think if like, you know, I don't think she's looking to like have sex on date. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she came into this with that goal.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just like, if she had seen anything like,
yeah,
like she said, a hand graze, a kiss, some type of affection, she would know that she's going in the right direction and she might get it by day 6 or 7 or something. But exactly. She doesn't see it coming down the line at any point with the way they're going. So she has to be up front and be like, look, what the heck's going on?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And he's like, you know, I wish I was feeling a little bit more of that at this point. And, you know, he says he's currently not feeling that physical attraction to her. And he's like, look, I know I'm the one with the issue. It's not you. And she's like, okay, well, you know, I'm glad. I'm sure that was hard to get off of your chest, but I can tell that when you look at me, sometimes there's some attraction there. And he's like,
telling that to herself.
I don't know.
I don't see it when he looks at her. He looks pained every time he's with her.
Yeah. Maybe it's the eye. Like maybe he's giving her eye contact. I don't know.
Maybe, but like, and it's just like with Mitch, it seems like he vacillates between saying the right thing and the mm-hmm. wrong thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this isn't a you issue. This is definitely a me issue. You're like, okay, good. Right thing. But if he says, I just don't feel physically attracted to you, that's the wrong thing to say. Like mm-hmm. those, like the words aren't right. Like if he wants to say like, I'd just be more comfortable taking things slower, like don't make it about her attractiveness. Like that's crazy, because
right,
even though you say it's a you issue, no one wants to hear that about themselves.
That's something you can't take back. She's always going to remember that you said that. And even Justin and Ben on the after party, Ben said he just wouldn't have said anything, and Justin was like, I would have just found something else I liked and focused like on that.
Yes. And like, you know, it's just like, oh, I can't lie to my wife. I took a vow that I can't lie to her. Okay, but you don't have to like, it's not
tear her down.
It's not lying. It's being honest and saying you want to take things slower. You want to have more of an attraction, you could say.
Yeah.
Like, don't say I don't feel physically attracted to you. Just say I want to grow more attraction before we get to that point. Say something, dress up a little better, Mitch.
Yeah, especially in these first very like first impression days. This is really important.
Yeah.
And so he tries to explain it that like, hey, I can think like a pinup girl is like very attractive, but I don't know her. So he's like, I see attractiveness as like the full picture. I need to, you know, see everything. Well, then don't say.
It's kind of more this like high and mighty stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't think that way. Like, I can't get attracted just by your looks. I need to know you on a deep mental connection level. I'm not the superficial person that only goes out with someone for their looks. I am a, you know, a highly civilized gentleman. I need to know all about you before I get to that level.
Yeah.
Which is just is stupid, like, you know, nonsense.
Right.
In a way.
Exactly. And props to Kristen, the way she handled this, because she handled this so maturely with her communication. Like, she didn't shut down or anything. She just properly communicated how she was feeling. And she's like, look, I'm not going to convince you that I'm a catch. He's like, no, you shouldn't have to. She's like, I'm not going to poke specifics because I feel like that's going to hurt my feelings. And she's just kind of tearing up a little bit. And she's like, look, I'm still very hopeful for us building attraction over time. And yeah. I hate that she has to deal with this, but props to her for still being optimistic.
Yeah. So like the whole line about, I don't want to have to convince you that I am attractive and a catch, you know, that's what you want to hear out of someone in this situation. Like, you don't want someone trying to like beg and plead for someone to find them attractive. Like, you know, well, what she's saying is the right thing to say here, because Mitch is not worth you debasing yourself and trying to convince him that you are someone to be attracted. That's not it, because Mitch ain't it. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Kristen is like three leagues above Mitch. All right. This is more like this is like the Alyssa and Chris thing last season. It's like, you think Chris is so like below your level that you're just acting this way toward this person. Now, Mitch is treating Kristen a little better than Alyssa treated Chris.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's something similar to that. Like, how dare you think that this person is like not in your league, or you don't find him attractive because you're this or that. I don't know. I want to like Mitch. I thought I would come out of this episode hating Mitch more than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate Mitch. I think Mitch is just like really bad at communicating, really bad at getting in his own way. Like I said, self-sabotaging. I don't want to hate Mitch. He's just doing a lot of stupid, dumb things right now.
Right. And I want to say, is it just that he's just not ready for marriage? I mean, I know he's 41, but.
Yeah, Mitch is not ready for marriage. he's just because you're 41 doesn't mean you're ready for marriage.
You can be
51 and not ready for marriage.
It's just not in the cards for you.
Yeah, you might just be better off single. Maybe be a single dad, adopt some kids. And that's what you really want. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe marriage isn't for you.
Yeah. And Kristen just hopes he is like, he's just filled with anxiety. He's just in his head. And he's just like so impressed with her response. And it's just like, thank you so much for taking this so well. And this also felt high and mighty. Like, I don't need you to be proud of me for how I responded to this.
Yeah, don't pet me on the head saying, oh, you're doing such a good job. I know I'm doing a good job. You're just being a douche. Right.
So then they go to a pool and they're like, hey, should we take a shot of tequila now or in the pool? Like, it's been a day. And they decide to take a shot of tequila before they get into the pool. She's kind of blown away at this vibe. She's like, it's kind of wild. They're eating chocolate covered strawberries. Tequila's involved. You know, and the conversation they had earlier just kind of threw her off. And she's just really frustrated, obviously. And she thanks him for talking to her about it. And he's like, look, I'm just really impressed with how, you know, you handled the situation. He tells us he feels re-motivated.
Yeah, you see, says a line, but I think it's tequila's acting like a social lubricant.
If he said that one more time, he's like,
we should have made the password to the Facebook. We should change it for this week. Make a social lubricant.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah, let's do that. Everybody, the new Facebook password for this week is social lubricant. Here we go. I was like, if I never hear that again, I will be A-okay.
And he only said it once, but it feels like he said it like 20 times. No, he
said it again after the boat, like after their massages. Yes, he was like, yeah, everything was so socially lubricated.
Gosh, that's even worse.
Yes, he had different versions, different tenses.
Thankfully, I didn't catch the second time.
Yes. So then they did do this group boat date once Ben and Morgan arrived to the honeymoon. And so we'll talk about the group date after we talk about all the couples. But they did have another scene after the group date. So they got massages after the group date. And, you know, he says, like, okay, like I said, everything was so socially lubricated with the tequila last night. And he's like, look, a fire can always be stoked, because what we find out, and I guess we can get into it now, we find out from Kristen on the group date that things, she didn't really want to say because she was so confused about what happened. But basically, things kind of got hot and heavy.
I think what you used to describe this, which I want to know exactly what happened, but I feel also like kind of don't know.
They're teasing us, because he's like, yeah, after the tequila and everything, like, you know, I just got a little excited. He's like, he said a fire can always be stoked, whatever that means.
It kind of feels like little Mitch made an appearance when Kristen didn't want to see little Mitch.
Right. Yes. So basically, this is after hearing that he's not physically attracted to her. So she's like, look, I was very happy last night and it was a good time. And had you been attracted to me, because they decide to talk about last night. So she's like, had you been attracted to me, we would have gone further. But I just didn't feel like that was appropriate after the conversations that we had had. And he tells us, look, I'm a guy. I got hormones. And he said he just got turned on.
He makes a weird laugh after he says he got turned on. I got turned on. You know, Mitch, this is an even worse look for you now, Mitch. Mm-hmm. You say, oh, I have hormones and desires, but you're not attracted to her? Like, get your story straight, sir. Like, what is going on? Is he trying to say he just got drunk and then things took over from there? He still doesn't find her attractive. He mentioned something about, like, how she was handling it made her more attractive. Did she say that on After Party or did he say that on the show?
That might have been After Party.
Yeah, maybe. So, I mean, I could understand that part of it, but you can't go from 0 to 100 like that on her like that. Like, you can't tell her an hour ago you're not attracted to her and then now all of a sudden try and, you know, make something happen.
Exactly, because now she's not feeling wanted, and she does bring that up to him. She's like, look, I just want you to, you know, tell me the things you like, because there are things you like. Like, if you like anything about me, like, tell me, because that would make you feel like you want me in some way. And he's like, look, I like everything about you so far. And she's just obviously very confused, and she's like, okay, look, we could just keep going that route, but I do want you to know, I will say no on decision day if by decision day we have not had sex or we haven't said I love you. So I will ask for a divorce.
Yeah, this is like usually a week 6 conversation. Right. Like, if we haven't, you know, had affection or we're not progressing, then in 2 weeks I'm going to have to say no. But we're at a point now, we're in day 3, where I got to tell you, if we're not getting, because this is what I meant by, like, he's putting so much pressure on the situation that it's causing her to put pressure on the situation.
Yeah.
Because she's seeing this as such a dire situation already.
Right.
And just, like, talking about it more, like, I really can see where she's coming from in the whole, like, you know, you didn't tell me you're attracted to me and now you want to do things. Like, it would imagine make you feel like more of an object than a person. Like,
yeah.
That you just want to do things with me while not being attracted. It just makes me feel like something that you're using to please yourself.
Right.
And less of a person, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that totally just made it seem like, okay, so I could be anyone. I know we got married at first sight.
Right.
So, but you have admitted you are not physically attracted to me, but your actions are just showing, like, you just want to someone to meet those desires. And even though you're not attracted to me, you're settling for, oh, well, I'm here. How is she going to be into it if that's the vibe?
Now, I will say, I don't know if this whole ultimatum of I love you slash sex or I'll ask for a divorce is going to help things. Yeah. I think it might make things even worse for him. But, you know, it'll put just even more pressure on the situation. But we'll see how that works out for them.
Yeah. So every week we rate these couples on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 being that they are going to get divorced on decision day. 5 being that we think they're going to stay together. Where are you with Kristen and Mitch?
I think I'm almost at that 1 level. Ooh. But I'm going to keep it at a 2.
Yeah, I'm going to maintain my 2 as well, only because of Kristen's optimism. Like, I feel like we didn't even know this was going to be an issue, his attraction. We have not even scratched the surface with his little attitude he gets.
We haven't seen him carrying out yet.
Right. So I feel like that would be very telling with how she responds to that and how she handles that. So we'll see. But I'm still at a 2 until we start to see Kristen be a little bit more like, oh, no, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, we'll have to wait until see someone litter in his presence to get his real, real Mitch side out.
They get back and she comes home from the grocery store with paper plates and paper cups.
Plastic bags.
Cups. Yeah.
I got you reusable bags as a wedding gift. Why haven't you been using them?
She's like, I forgot them at home.
Not acceptable. You carry all your groceries in your hands.
Oh my gosh. That was me back in Austin before when Austin went plastic bag free. So there's no plastic bags at like grocery stores. So you have to buy reusable bags or carry everything. So I used to just
your hands get numb out. Right. You hold, carry your frozen peas to the car. Like, oh my God, this is so cool.
I'm like, I will not spend a quarter on a reusable bag.
It's not going to get me.
Right. Yeah. So on the next time on, the only thing we really did get from them was that she's concerned that he hasn't had a lot of dating experience, which just is immaturity all around.
Yeah. I mean, as our guest last week, Mar says, Sarah, you are 41. Mm-hmm. Get it together.
Yeah. These 41-year-olds on all these TV shows these days are acting out.
Acting a fool.
Yeah. So let's see, where do you want to go next?
We're going to tackle Lindy and Miguel. I got to say, Miguel, my view on him is definitely changed this episode.
Yes.
Same. Interesting. So we start out, Miguel says, he's in a confession. He says the sexual tension is there and he does really think he could fall in love with her. So talking on the couch a little bit. She tells him about all her religious upbringing and, you know, how, you know, in early in college, she got engaged to her boyfriend. But it turned out they wanted 2 different things out of life after college. She wanted education and more experience. And he just wanted to kind of go off and make a life and make her his like happy housewife. She tells Miguel, this is the man that I lost my virginity to. And it's the only man I've told that, you know, I love you to. Miguel talks about his past relationships and says he could, you know, the thing he does in relationships, he can get 3 months into a relationship and tell that things weren't going to work. So he ends them early. And Lindy pretty much says, yeah, that kind of terrifies me because I'm worried that, you know, this is a 2-week, the 2-month thing, and you might decide early that it's over and you've had enough of basically what she's saying. Lindy says that she hopes that he can work with her on her quirks and all of her, you know, eccentricities, and they communicate enough to make it work. She says for her, love is a choice, but she knows that for Miguel, love is more of a feeling and not really a choice. In a confessional, she says it's hard to open up to him when he is taking a let's just see kind of approach and attitude to it. And he tells her, I can't just really like choose whether or not I fall in love with you.
Yeah, I think they need to expand on these definitions of how they view love. Because her view is very faith-based. And if he doesn't, you know, have a faith of any type, then that just like the explanation that love is a choice doesn't resonate with him, right? But if she expands on that, maybe he can understand like, okay, you're seeing like you are viewing love as an action as opposed to me having the feeling that I associate with Liv.
Yeah, he seems like kind of both analytical and emotional at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not analytical enough to say, okay, I love you because of these reasons and these reasons, but he has to have that feeling of butterflies in his heart, I guess.
Yeah.
But he's also, you know, just kind of a by the numbers person. Like, if I don't feel it, I don't feel it. That's it.
Yep. He's like, yeah. And he's like, if I don't feel it, then there's nothing I can do about it, basically.
Yeah. Like, I just got to cut you loose. Sorry about that.
Right. And she's very, very, like, she said her word count since the start of the season has by far the highest of anybody on this cast.
Yeah, for sure. And her words per minute are like very high.
Yeah. She gets those words out, rocket fire. And
like, am I listening to this TV show on 3X?
Right.
That's what I hear her talk.
Yeah. And I'm like, and Miguel is not even at half the words she's saying.
Half of Miguel and Lindy's segments are just him looking at her while she's talking.
Exactly. I'm like, what is he thinking?
We're not getting enough. Word in.
We're not getting enough from his confessionals.
Wait till she takes a breath, I guess.
Exactly.
Then they go on to dinner and they talk a little bit about graduating high school. And she basically calls him old. She's like, so when did you graduate high school? He said, I graduated in 03.
Yeah.
That's a dang. I graduated in 03. I don't. Am I old?
Well, if the shoe fits.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. She graduated in 2011. I guess I didn't realize that their age was so different.
I didn't either. I like went back to their ages. I was trying to find it in my notes. He's 35 and she's 29.
That's a match.
So that's like six. Yeah, that's 6 years. How are they? How did they graduate high school 8 years apart?
So that's somebody got held back.
Wait, really? Oh, yeah, I guess that would be the math.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, no, because 3 and 11, that's like 8, right?
Yeah, that's 8.
Maybe it has to do something with their birthdays and when they graduated.
Maybe in different places. Weird. Maybe yeah. Because she was saying like she went to Seventh-day Adventist schools. So maybe they did things differently. It was dragged out or something.
Maybe they go to 13th grade.
Because 2011, she's 29. I'm 30 and I graduated in 2009. But I skipped a grade, so I should have graduated in 2010. Oh,
she skipped a grade. Oh, just had to get that in there.
I'm surprised it's like the first time that's come up ever. But yeah, I skipped first grade.
Well, look at you.
Just a thing that happened. But I guess I don't know. Maybe that makes sense. I'm not sure.
We'll figure it out at some point. Maybe not. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
She asks more about his upbringing. He tells her that he grew up in Queens and his parents divorced at 10. And at that point, his dad moved them to Puerto Rico. And when he got to Puerto Rico, he felt a identity crisis because he didn't speak Spanish, which kind of caused him to socially isolate. And he kind of retreated into video games and comic books. Then he tells her that his mom has been diagnosed as a schizophrenic, and he didn't understand until a late age that she actually didn't abandon the family, but that she was just sick and regrets treating her coldly while growing up. Lindy says it's beautiful that he can find compassion and strength for his mom because, you know, at one point he had thought that the mom just abandoned them because she didn't love them, but he figured out that, you know, at a late age, it was because she was schizophrenic. Lindy tells him about her parents' divorce and how the divorce is pretty messy. And that, you know, at one point she had stayed with her boyfriend's parents for a summer and got to see what a healthy family dynamic looked like. So she says that her hope is that she can break the cycle of toxic marriage in their lives. In confessional, she says that she still has walls up, but, you know, they're more like short hedges. And
she can peek through.
Yeah, she is falling for him more and more as they are being more vulnerable with each other.
Yeah, I feel like with every conversation, her feelings just grow for him, where I feel like with him, it's almost as if he's at zero and he's trying to take
little baby steps.
Right. He's trying to like get the car started. Like, all right, come on, let's let's see. And I mean, obviously, which, you know, we're going to talk about later, or, and I guess in a second, I feel like he needs something to, that is the key to get the car started.
Yeah, he needs, like, you know, he needs something, something. He needs a little something, something, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So the next, their next segment is they're at the pool. And we start with a confessional from Miguel saying, you know, things are looking good. I'm enjoying being with her. Not very, like, enthusiastic. He's like, yeah, things are good.
Yeah.
I enjoy her.
I can do.
Yeah. He tells her he's attracted to her, and he senses that she's attracted to him. And, you know, we get another confessional from him saying that, you know, we haven't consummated yet, but we're, you know, I put in quotes, working on it. And he will make a move, but she'll kind of diplomatically reject it. And he says, but, you know, we are meeting needs the other in other ways, telling us basically there's been some hanky panky going on. Just not, you know, just not straight out sex, I think, is what we're trying to intimate here. Right. I think you can put together what we mean.
Yeah. 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah. He says that for him, intimacy is what makes relationship real. And she tells him that, you know, off her religious teachings in the past, and how she was taught there's, you know, a complex guilt in regards to abstinence and non-abstinence. And she's thankful that he is patient and tells him, you know, when we do consummate, it's going to be really special because it's going to be like, you know, the two of us coming together to become one. He says, well, you know, for me, sex is kind of just a way to, you know, express affection. Like, it's not really that much of a, you know, this big idea of like becoming one. It's just, that's how I express affection. In a confessional, he says he needs to have sex before he knows it's real. He knows how that sounds. He knows it sounds macho, but for him, sexual chemistry is a very important part of a relationship. And then we get like more weirdness. He offers her a massage.
Yeah.
Starts rubbing her back, kind of, I'll put this delicately, mounting her.
He says, talking about a banana in his pocket.
Yeah. He says that, you know, he talks some nonsense about hopefully in 30 or 40 years, you still like what you see. And he tells the cameraman, make sure you get my boner. Gross. This
yeah. I was like, I refuse to lead. This is what I was thinking during the episode. I said, I refuse to lead Lindy and Miguel because there was so much said that I didn't want to say.
Yeah, it's just after this episode, I'm like, Miguel, like, you just seem kind of more like a little bit of a creep, kind of like this is like as in comparison to Kristen and Mitch. Kristen's not saying like, I need sex right now.
Yeah,
I need to see that we're on a path to sex.
Yes,
at least a pathway to that. Miguel's like, nah, I want it now. Like,
yeah, he's like, why hasn't it happened yet?
Because what's the hold up?
Yeah, and so in his mind, something like that's the issue. Where for her, she's seeing the issue of like he's not opening up, so it's hard. It's getting hard for me to continue opening up because I'm not getting to know him on a deeper level. Where. He and if you took a peek into his mind, he's just like, why haven't we had sex yet? We saw this across all of I think we've seen this, especially in this episode, across all the couples. The women are great communicators. Like they, well, with the exception of Alexis, but there is some maturity in the way that she communicates with Justin. So not in a matter of like openness, but the men
are weird.
They're like all like 10 years. Let me not say an age thing, but just, are they, they're all just here to not all, but for the most part, I don't know.
We're going to talk about boning or her talk about our penises.
Right.
We're like, here to be nasty.
Are like, y'all just here to hook up? Is what it feels like.
It's weird. It's weird. But Miguel, for sure, this episode, I was like, what is your issue, my guy? Like, you know, I saw him in a different light, and it makes me more cautious about their relationship going forward. It makes me question what's important to him and, like, you know, if he's really going to be in this. Which, with, you know, we talked about last week where he's kind of, he seemed a little exasperated as he was talking to Lindy and all of, dealing with all of her, you know, neuroses and things.
Yeah.
Is he going to be this? Is he going to keep being patient while not getting any sex? I think probably not. Right. I think he's going to get a little like grumpy. He's going to be like, you know,
he's already showing that. Yeah. He already seems grumpy in their conversations. And like, he was supposed to be Mr. Hopeless Romantic. Where is that, Miguel?
Right. Exactly. So it's interesting. And it, you know, it gives a little more insight into Lindy's kind of complex situation, because she's not quote unquote religious anymore, mm-hmm. but you can tell that there's still a lot of what she was taught that sticks in there with her, which is kind of hard to unlearn. So she's a little more hesitant to go into sexual things. And that doesn't match well with Miguel, apparently, because Miguel is, he's bowed about it from day one.
Yeah.
So that's them for this segment, pretty much. Where are you rating them this week?
Last week, I went from a 4 to a 2. I'm going to maintain my 2 because I don't even know if he likes her. I feel like he's just there. Like, he's just a body. He's just existing next to her in all these activities. But then if it's like anything physical, he's like, oh, okay, I'm here. Now I'm here. But anything else, it's just like, who, you're knocking and no one's home. So
yeah
I'm gonna maintain my 2. What about you?
I think I was at a 3 last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stay at my 3. I would wonder how things change once they do consummate, if they get to that point, whether he'll get more agreeable. It shouldn't take that for him to be more agreeable, but I just wonder if that's what it would be. So
go ahead.
I'll maintain my 3.
Okay. I understand, like, a lot of people, everybody has different values within like a relationship. And I know for some people, like, if your love language is physical touch, that's very important for you. But there are levels. You can get there.
Right. So if this was, say, week 3 instead of day 3, I could be a little more understanding. But this is day 3. Like, yes, you are married, but you're kind of married with an asterisk. Like, you still just met this person 3 days ago.
Yeah.
You can't have that much level of expectation in going into this.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know what to think about them, but I'm holding on to my 2.
Yep. So that's Miguel and Lindy. Where are we going next?
Yeah. So let's go ahead and knock out the love bomber, Justin Alexis. So we had an interesting episode for these two. So we start out with their date and they're riding horses on the after party. Justin brought up his banana. And Rudy.
I love Rudy. Rudy's like, we couldn't like, go
again.
One episode without you mentioning your nether regions. Come on, man.
Exactly. So and he brings up how it was hurting him, and he was just like, and even after Rudy says we can't go one episode without talking about this, he's like, yeah, I was just like, my balls.
Oh my gosh.
Why? Where? How was that appropriate? How was this like, oh, this is a perfect setting, but in front of Keisha Knight Pulliam, I am going to talk about that.
In front of little Rudy Huxtable, you're going to bring up your genitals. That's inappropriate. So, like, we talked a little bit out on the Facebook group, like, what Justin's issue is. Like, I just think, like I said, like, it's got to be, like, overcompensating.
Yes.
Like, maybe it's just not, maybe he just doesn't have it like that, and he wants to talk like this to make us think he does. I don't know.
I just don't understand why it's constantly talked about.
It gives off a 12-year-old.
Yes.
That, you know, doesn't have sex, that talks this way in front of their peers. Like,
yeah,
it's bad. He's got to get control of it.
Exactly. Really? Just hold your tongue. Everything. Whatever happened to like private things? Like, nothing is held.
He's talking about private things, Asia. his private parts.
I walked right into it.
You did. I had to take it.
So on this horse riding date, they're kissing before, and he's so tall that she's like breaking her neck to kiss him. She's like, my neck's going to start hurting if we keep kissing like this.
Listen, this is better than last season's horseback ride. There were no fights on this horseback ride. Right.
Exactly.
And went with the Olajuwon and Katina last season.
Right. So he says, like, look, everything I manifested years ago is finally happening. Like, I'm in Mexico with my wife on our honeymoon. They're holding hands while they ride. They're just having a great time. And they stop at like some rocks to talk. And Alexis is like, I'm usually one that's cool, calm, and collected. And like, I feel like I'm losing control and it's really scary. And she looks at him. Obviously they're talking. She's like, I can tell by the way you look at me that like did she say this? I think she said it.
She says this in confessional.
Yeah. In the confessional, she said, I could tell by the way he looks at me that he loves me. And he says that he's talking to her and it's just like a whole lot of just like, oh, these are the, in my opinion, it could be genuine. I had to check myself because I was like, maybe I'm being too hard on Justin. But he's just like, I would put myself in harm's way for you. Like, I'm here for you. I got you. Don't worry. And she's so giddy. Like, she loves it.
I don't know if it's, I think it's more like she doesn't know what to do with herself at this moment. Yeah. Like, he says, she like goes, ew. Like, yeah. She just doesn't know how to process this. And I think, like, I think Justin's plan is working, which is just to, like,
woo her.
Bombard her with, like, love, 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 bombard all these compliments, all these things, just to get her to, like, think on his level.
Yeah.
And it's starting to work on her. I think she's surprised by that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why love bombing is a real thing, like, in today's dating culture. It's the action or practice of lavishing someone with attention or affection, especially in order to influence or manipulate them. And not saying he's on that level. Totally not saying he's trying to manipulate her. But
I think it's genuine. I think it's genuine on his part. I think he really thinks that he loves her.
Yes, I could see that. Yes. I'm saying, like, his actions, not that his actions are manipulative, but it's something that he leans on because, like, he thinks, like, this is how you woo a girl, by making her feel like she's his world. And BS, like what he says, like, later in the episode, like, and even on After Party, he's like, when I married her, I decided to commit to her. Like, I'm all in. I totally don't believe that he's not all in, but it's like, is this not natural, but is there truth behind the things that he's saying?
I think there is a relative truth. I just don't think he knows what what love is. I don't think he knows what he's feeling. I think Nate later puts it in a very good way.
Yes. Go ahead.
Nate just says he's very excited right mm-hmm. now.
He's very impressed with his wife and right. He's excited.
He's very excited. He's very giddy. There has been no roadblocks yet. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you shouldn't say that you love someone unless you've gone through any type of turbulation with them. And they've done nothing but have a lavish wedding and go on a beautiful honeymoon. So, of course, he's going to feel these things. And when he feels things, he feels them hard. He feels them fast. And I'm sure it will be the opposite way when something goes wrong. He'll feel that hard. He'll feel that fast. And that will be the bad part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he believes what he's saying right now. I just don't think it's real.
If yeah. I'll say that. Okay. Yes. That's a good. That's what I was trying to say. Couldn't find the words. So they go to dinner, and he asks her. He's like, "Oh, is the view nice behind me?" And she's like, "I got a new nice view right in front of me." So he's like rubbing off on her.
But see, and the thing is, like, they seem like such a great match, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is giving it just as much as, you know, she's getting it. Uh-huh. She's not going to the love word,
right?
But she's giving it back to him in return.
Yeah. And I feel like she's giving it in a way that she wouldn't be giving it if she wasn't getting it. So if in past relationships, she didn't have a boyfriend that was like him, she wouldn't be saying these things. And so, you know, she talks about how, like, you know, she's afraid to get vulnerable with him because she feels like being vulnerable is a way of letting someone hurt you because you're opening up that door. She's like, I don't want to be the reason, like, I don't want you to be the source of my happiness. I want like you to be, you know, you can make me happy, but like, if you have the ability to make me happy, you also have the ability to make me sad, angry, and whatever. So I don't want you to have control over my emotions.
Alexis is someone that has gone through therapy because that's real. That's real raw emotion. And someone has told her that before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was a very succinct way of putting it. And a very, very real and raw and vulnerable way of putting herself out there.
Right. And this is why I like group her with having good communication, because she explained that really well.
Yeah.
And so she tells him, she's like, I feel like you were made for me. And then she proceeds to have a physical reaction to saying this. Like, she's like, oh, curling up like a ball. And oh, my God, I can't believe I just said that. Oh, what is happening?
Yeah, it just makes me wonder. She's just the type of person in a relationship that no matter what the energy is, that she's going to match it. Mm-hmm. You know? Because it seems like she's like you said, like she hasn't been in a relationship like this before where this person is just like heaping praise upon her at every turn. Mm-hmm. And she's matching it. This is not her natural state. So her body is rejecting it. Like she's physically rejecting the words that come out of her mouth.
Right. And I did want to point out, like, on their horse riding date, when they showed Justin at after party, when they came back from that scene,
he was crying, right?
No, on after party, he was like, take me back. He said that to Mitch. Oh. And I was like, do you mean take me back to a time we were happy, or just take me back to this amazing honeymoon I had?
I think it's the latter, because I the vibe that I get from Justin is that they're still together. I don't know if I get the same vibe from Alexis.
Right. The way she'd be trying to clown him on after party.
Yeah, but I think the clowning is kind of like just part of what she does, even if she loves you, I think.
If she's,
I
don't know, there
if, yet. If I had to guess based off of Justin, I would think they're still together.
Mm-hmm. No,
because he seemed like real happy and real, like, you know,
yeah,
happy about that time. But I don't know.
We'll see in 15 episodes.
Oh my gosh! Only 4 months,
right? So, he tells her, like, he wants to do whatever it takes to keep her. He wants to have kids with her. He wants to spend the rest of his life with her. She's like, how do you know that? Like, how do you know you want to spend the rest of your life with me? He's like, because I love you. She laughs out loud, busts out laughing. Like, he just said the funniest thing ever. And he's like, what? I love you. I'm in love with you. And she's just like, oh. And then she has the real reaction of like, oh, he's like, does that scare you that I said that? She's like, I could get up from this table right now and walk away.
Yeah, but she doesn't say it in a, like, in a bad way.
Yeah, it was in a, I don't know what else to say right now. I'm a little uncomfortable because I don't know how to respond.
But I think in confessional, she says that she kind of feels that way too. And she even tells him, like, you want me to say it to you? Because I'm not willing to say it to you right now. Like,
right. She's like, I can't say it. She's like, if you want me to say it, I can't say that right now. This is how I processed her reaction. We've been on a high since the moment we met each other. Things have been so great. You saying you love me in this moment made this very real. And now I need to take a step back to say, was I on a high, or do I actually have these feelings for him too? I feel like she was just very torn with, like, how to even respond.
Yeah, because I think she could be in a caught in a moment where she could say that she does it. But then her rational side of her brain is like, no, girl, this is 3 days in. Like, you can't say it yet. I mean, in a confessional, she says, you know, she's not ready. She wants to make sure that it's real before she says it.
Yes.
Which kind of tells me she may be feeling it a little bit, but she knows what maybe Justin doesn't realize.
Yes.
That this is a idyllic situation we're in right now. We got married, beautiful wedding. We're in this beautiful honeymoon. Like, I can't say it yet. I got to make sure that we go through all the stuff to make sure that it's real.
Yeah.
Justin doesn't feel that right now.
Right. Exactly. And he asks her, he's like, could you see yourself falling in love with me? And she's like, well, I'm not going to say it. And we cut to commercial and come back to the conversation, which I was very happy about. I thought that was it.
Yeah.
And so she's just like, this is too much for me at this moment. I, you know, I'm not ready to say it. I just need to know for sure. He starts crying.
Oh, boy.
She's like, is this too much for you?
just activates the waterworks. Right. Like, what happened, Justin? It's like somebody pushed a button on him. He just like starts crying. Like,
yeah, she's like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. And she's like, what's wrong? He's like, well, ever since I saw you, like, it feels like I designed like my perfect person. Like, you are my perfect person. He's like, I fell in love with you at the altar. It, you know, people don't think love at first sight is a thing. Shout out to our feed. He's like, but love at first sight is a real thing. And she was like, well, do you feel like I love you? You know, he was like, I do. I feel like you do love me. And he tells us, he's like, he tells her, whenever you're ready, I'm here.
You know, I mean, shout out to him for not like pressuring her that bad. Yeah. He did say he'd be there ready and waiting. Uh-huh. He didn't say, well, you got to say it to me. I said it to you. So, yeah, I mean, shout out to him for that. But he's unrealistic. And like, yes, they haven't had any troubles yet. So we'll come back to Justin in like, you know, a few episodes to see where he's at then.
Why do you think he cried?
Oh, I don't know. I think he was hoping that she would return the favor. Kind of like when he told his brother he's getting married at first sight, his brother did not take to it very kindly when being told this information at the first millisecond of being told, and he started crying about his brother not being supportive. I think he just has these high hopes, and then when the person doesn't match those high hopes, he starts crying.
That's what it was. Just like, it didn't go how he pictured in his mind. But he didn't want to like ruin the moment, especially because she wasn't like, she didn't walk away. She wasn't having a negative response to it. It was more just like a realistic response.
Yeah. We're 3 days in, sir.
Yes.
And for all these people, y'all are 3 days in. Calm down.
Like, chill this out.
This is like the horniest cast I think we may have ever had on this show.
Yes.
Like, it, y'all need, somebody needs to throw some water on y'all. Like, is this what they do in San Diego? Like, what are you putting in the water down there? Dang.
Yeah. I feel like if they took a chill pill and eased off the pressure, then these first couple of weeks could be genuinely getting to know each other and getting on the right track to have these real conversations and see if they really are meant for each other. So that was it for Justin and Alexis.
Yeah.
Where would you rate them?
For Justin and Alexis, I'm still willing to, I think I was at a 4 last week.
Yes.
I'm still willing to leave it at a 4 because I do think that deep down they are really nicely matched. So I'm going to leave it at a 4 for now.
Yeah. I will say, we didn't get anything too alarming on the next time on that would make me concerned, besides the fact that Justin allowed Nate to score on him in a game of 1-on-1 in basketball. Like, what you doing with all that height, Justin? But anyway, I was at a 3 last week, and I'm going to actually go up to a 4 because of Alexis. Like, I feel like if Justin was the only one in this, well, obviously he wouldn't be the only one in this relationship, but if it was on Justin, like, it would be rainbows and sunshine till the end. But Alexis is kind of like, she's my gauge right now with how things will go. And I feel like she is showing a level of commitment. I know it's only day 3, but right now it seems like she's giving him a chance, which I don't know I would have been able to say after episode 1. So I'm in a 4 as well. And I also want to say, after Lindy and Miguel, so they on the next time on, they are going to get into an argument in front of the other couples, where she's saying, she's retelling a conversation they had, but Miguel disagrees with how she told it, where she's saying, he said, oh, you have 8 weeks. Whereas Miguel is saying, you know, he doesn't know if he's going to be able to feel however he's going to feel by the end of the process. So these two, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like all of the good juicy stuff that we saw in the season preview is going to be happening on this honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're wasting all the season on this honeymoon. Like,
yeah, we're going to have another, like, this season on.
I hope so. I hope there's more that happens in this season, this honeymoon stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So there we go. Alexis and Justin. Who are we going to talk about next?
Let's do Sasha and Nate. So we come in on Sasha and Nate. We come in on a confession from Sasha. She says, you know, the shower kind of gave her a preview of what Nate is capable of. But they did not consummate the marriage. They are still trying to build sexual tension. And she wants to feel from the heart and not from the body.
Mm-hmm.
So they're eating their little breakfast out in the hot tub, taking some shots of tequila for breakfast. Breakfast of Champions, I think.
That's the way to do it on a honeymoon. That's me on vacation. Maybe not shots of tequila every day, but whatever the vibe is for that day.
Tequila and steamy showers. That's what Asians vacations are all about.
Right.
So they go on a little ATV excursion. Apparently Nate planned this, you know, AKA the producers planned it. She's looking forward to it to see if he looks out for her in a situation like this, a little dangerous situation, see if he keeps an eye on his wife. But they get out there and they start riding, and Nate's busy taking pics and taking videos of himself to, you know, show the homies back home, I guess. I don't know. They go racing down a trail. He's just busy. I gotta get the views. Gotta get all the angles. So she's a little annoyed at this. So they sit down after writing. She says she wants to find a balance between enjoying the activities they're doing and recording and taking pictures. He's like, oh, you know, I had to get my stuff.
She's right though. Like, I am that person. Like, when I go on a trip, like, you don't even want to know how many pictures I took when I went to Europe. Like,
Asia, I was in New York with you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We had to stop like every 5 minutes for another picture with another podcaster or like with the fan, because, you know, Asia Wells got the squad out there.
I have no fans. No, I understand his thought process of like, okay, I want to document this. However, you are on your honeymoon. There is like a time and a place. Okay, let me get one video of me on the ATV in action. Great. That'll be great for my Instagram story to post later tonight if I want to post on Instagram. But the amount, like, he literally documented the whole thing as if he was about to create a vlog. There's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah, I mean, so she comes back and says, you know, you can do your own thing, but we need to find a balance between single life and married life. He says, well, you know, I can't just kind of flip a switch to married life. I just got married 3 days ago. I just can't flip a switch just like that.
I'm still going through the transition.
I still got to be a little bit about me. So, you know, who is he like sending this stuff to anyway?
Are they even allowed
to do that?
I mean, I would imagine the people that they're involved with are very aware of where they are in the process. They talk to them about it. His little friend that she met at the wedding, I'm sure she knows. She's in the group chat, I'm sure. And I'm sure he was like, look at these views. Y'all, we got to come back here. Like, that was definitely on his mind. Like, oh my gosh, I could be having so much fun with my friends here too. Not that he's like undervaluing his experience with her, but he's in that mindset of like, oh, it would be great with my friends.
Yeah, I just wonder how much he actually did it and how much they're trying to play it up, but mm-hmm. You know, whatever. I would want to take some pictures, I guess, as I'm doing it, but not as much as maybe he did it.
Yeah.
So we go to them at dinner. She tells, and she starts off like right away. She's like,
no wasting time.
Yeah. Talk to my mom. And she said, yeah, you're a nice guy, whatever, whatever, whatever. But then she brought up that you told her about a bankruptcy with a business that you had. So you want to tell me a little bit what happened there?
I didn't love it, but she avoided eye contact that whole time.
Yeah.
She's looking straight at her food.
So he tells her about the business, which we didn't get a lot of detail into the business. I wanted to know what they were doing. Were they still trying to sell knockoff bags?
Who knows?
So he says, you know, that's how my credit got messed up because I had to file the bankruptcies. And that was when I decided to move to San Diego to get a restart. And she says, well, is that all like done? Is it all in the past? He's like, yeah. It's in the past. You know, 6 months from when you file bankruptcy, your credit score goes back to normal.
Which is not true. I can stay with you for like years.
Yeah, like 10 years, I think. It's like, I think. So he might want to check his credit score. He might get on credit card again and check that out again.
Right.
I'm surprised she hasn't asked for his credit report.
She probably is planning to when they get back.
They walk down the aisle. So what's your last name again? Barnes? Yeah.
Right.
Nate Barnes. Can you give me a social security number? Right. I mean, I'll be wife now. I just wanted a routine credit check. You know, nothing to be panicked about. I just got to make sure you're on the up and up.
Yeah. And she doesn't strike me, though, as someone who would be like, okay, if I see his credit, it's a certain number, I'm done. It's more so like, I need to know what I'm working with so we can see how to improve that.
Yeah, we can work on it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's under 700, I might have to walk away. But if it's a 7 and above, we can work on it. It'll get you up to the 800s.
Yeah.
So in a confessional, she says, this is more of like a yellow flag that I'm finding this as. You know, she's worked hard for what she has, and she doesn't want to have to struggle financially when they decide to have a family. So she wants to make sure that everything is copacetic on his side of the fence before they start a family, she said.
Which and makes then, sense, valid.
Yeah, for sure. And then the moment of truth. We've been waiting for it since the matchmaking special, since we met Stasha. She finally brings up the post up. And this man says, who? Who are we talking about? Who's posting up? Is that a rapper?
What is a post snap?
Oh, a little post snap? I heard his stuff last week. That's good. And so she explains, you know, no, it's kind of like a prenup. It would be used to protect, you know, the assets that I had, you know, when coming into the marriage. And, you know, he's like, oh, you don't trust your boy? And she says, well, I don't know what's going to happen. So I just want to be protected. Now, what she doesn't tell him, what she tells us in a confessional, she says, if he doesn't sign this, we are officially done.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't put up a fight.
No, he said, you know, I understand this is a crash course in a relationship and get to know each other. So yeah, no problem. I'll sign it.
I did not expect this to be his reaction. Like,
I mean, I kind of did. I thought he would be surprised by it, but I think it is a like reasonable thing to ask of in this situation. So I think he kind of saw that.
Yeah, I guess maybe, you know, obviously they have a better read on their financial situations, but I just he strikes me as someone who might be a little bit prideful about that. But
well, I think he is, but
well, I mean, the fact that he agreed, because he's like, this is what makes you feel more comfortable. I'm like, okay, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a good side of Nate so far. I think we all thought coming into this that, you know, Nate
we're
might be
scarred from Olajuwon.
Yeah, like the Olajuwons, the Zacks.
Yes.
Kind of that archetype. We don't want to stereotype, but
yeah, why does Married at First Sight have an archetype? They do. But why is that a thing?
You know what, Asia? That's our next project.
Yes.
The archetypes of Married at First Sight. Right. I'm gonna get on that. Yeah, so he says, you know, he wants to be practical about this, but it still hurts that she doesn't trust him. But, you know, he's really going to work to gain her trust.
Mm-hmm.
She asks him about kids, and he takes a long swing of his drink. And this man has the nerve to say, well, you are older than me, so you tell me your timeline.
You tell me.
She's only 3 years older than you, man. Relax.
Right.
Oh, gosh. So she says, you know, I'm thinking like a year. So I think that's good timeline for me. He's like, that's pretty fast. He says, I was thinking more like 2 to 3 years, but you don't have to be the right person. And she looks at him, she's like, well, what do you mean? Like, we're married, I'm your wife. Like, what other right person is there?
Yes, again. Like this is like a we're on a date. I just met you. This is maybe like our second date, and but you're
kind of are Asia. They kind of are.
They're married now. You can't have like okay. Oh, depends on who it's with.
But again, they're married with an asterisk. Okay, this you could say we're married until you're blue in the face. The fact is, we've been through 15 seasons, and this show has a success rate of about 1 per season.
Still, that's not helpful to the process for you to be that one couple that does last to say, oh, it has to be the right person.
Yeah, don't like say
I totally understand
voice.
Her reaction. Her reaction felt appropriate.
Yeah, don't say with your outside voice. Say with your inside voice. Keep that out of your head.
Right.
She says, you know, for her, kids are our priority and everything else is secondary. And it just cuts there abruptly. We get no other conversation about it. That's it.
Yeah. So I could see this being like a default issue, kind of like the why was Steve and Noi didn't have any other issues to talk about.
Yeah.
Then they had the issue of these hypothetical future kids conversation.
Yeah.
So it could be that, like, okay, this is something they'll be able to lean on if they don't have issues. Like, they do have great chemistry. I could see things going really well as long as they, like, continue to communicate with each other. So maybe it'll just be that. All right. So where would you rate Sasha and Nate?
You know, like I said, I think they're matched. They're still matched well. They get along very well. So I'm gonna leave it at my 4. I'm very hopeful for them and hope it goes well.
Okay. I'm also at my 4. My 4. A4. Same as the last 4 from last week.
Looks like things do get a little bit rocky for them next week. They do have some sort of disagreement. She says she doesn't know. He does not know the depths of her issues, I think is what she says.
Yeah.
Which is a little tricky. So we'll see.
Yeah. And there is some good stuff from the group date that we'll talk about in a bit.
Yep.
So last but not least, we have the couple who had to get married or had to finish their wedding. Ben and Morgan.
I would say last and least.
No, not least.
Thankfully, nothing good happened at this wedding and we could just speed right on through it.
The way the family pictures was 2 seconds.
2 seconds. Can we get this every year with every couple?
Just speed through. Oh, so they do the family pictures. There's just a little banter and stuff. The only funny thing happened. He crouched. He heard his pants rip. And they just took a lot of good pictures together. They both look happy, you know. Yeah. So then we get to the reception. She's like, look, I don't really drink wine. I usually drink beer. So I'm just going to act like I like this. And so then so they kind of like laugh about that. She tells a story about how she kneed her friend in the face. So she's like, I can't wait for you to see her tooth.
It's more of this is like the fifth time we've heard of the story. Can we get over it at this point? Okay, you chipped your friend's tooth.
When was the last time you chipped your friend's tooth?
Good question. I've never done it.
If you did, you'd probably be talking about it.
I guess.
At this point, he can tell she's kind of like an alpha female is what he's describing it.
So, and this starts the cavalcade of she does Muay Thai. I'm scared of her.
At this point, I feel like they're replaying the same clip because why do they keep saying that? Oh my gosh. So we get the meeting that they've kind of been building up to, her meeting his mom. And she's just like, hey, look, he loves his mom. Ben's mom said, he loves his mom. He always talks to me. And she's like, you know, she asked Morgan about kids. And Morgan's like, look, I want to do a lot in my life before I even think about having kids. And we already know. Morgan? Huh?
How old is Morgan?
She is, because they're not that different in age. I know. I feel like they're pretty close. She is. Oh, wow. Do we even? Yeah, we did get them. I know they're not that far apart in age. I don't know why they're not on my.
Gotta be like 30s, right?
Yeah, I felt like she was early 30s. No. She's 27. He's 29.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought she was pretty old, but no. She's good. Old. She's good. She got time.
She's still young. She's still thriving.
Yeah, she's got time.
Yeah. So that's kind of where she is. And we already know that Ben has said that his mom is really looking forward to kids. And so she says, let's see. I think that was pretty much all she said with her mom, with his mom. There wasn't a lot. It wasn't just like his mom disapproving or anything.
It wasn't what I was hoping we'd get some more needling and some more like, you will never replace me in his life.
No, that was your Lindsay voice.
I am mommy.
No. I told you. They're just trying to make this thing. Anyway, she meets he meets with was it her mom?
Yeah, her mom and her brother.
Okay, so he meets with them, and he asks, does she? Well, I guess this was when she was because he also met with her bridesmaids. I was trying to figure out why they didn't do like a parallel meeting with her and his groomsmen or anything.
Yeah, I think because they didn't get the answer they wanted out of the kids' question.
Yeah,
which is like she doesn't want any, but the mom was like, "Well, I don't know about the bridesmaids."
Yeah. She's like, I'm not going to say. And so then when he asked the maid of honor, she was like, yeah, Morgan's leaning on not wanting kids. But she thinks she could change her mind for the right person.
The producer's like, yeah, that's what we were looking for. That's the response we wanted.
Exactly. And so he's like, well, okay, that's a little, I'm going to have to think about that because, children are really important to him. And then her maid of honor leaves off by saying, she can get pretty nasty. So, because they're asking, like, what are your expectations for the wedding night? Because that's their business.
Exactly. And I mean, nasty is not nasty. I'm like, she can get mean. I think nasty is a nasty. She can get nasty.
Oh, of course. Yes. So they do the cutting of the cake. She really likes that he's warm and nice and driven. And he thinks that she's cute and fun and ambitious. And then they kind of joke about like, okay, well, who's going to be the big spoon, little spoon tonight? He's like, well, I want to be the big spoon. And she says she could do a little jetpack action. Does that mean that she's the big spoon?
She's like, no, bro, I'm going to be the big spoon. I got this. And she's like, as we're cutting the cake, she's like, put some muscle into it, you little pansy. Yeah. And like, he gives her the huge piece. And she gives him a little piece.
Yeah.
Like, are we trying to make this like a weird, like switching dynamics thing? Like,
they really are. Oh my gosh. They really are. That's the vibe that I feel like we're going to get with them the whole season. So we didn't even get a little send off from them. Like,
we did. They came, they ran out through sparklers.
Oh, it was sparklers?
Yeah.
Oh, they got
the best one.
I was going to say, I didn't see any like
they're toys. Able to take some time to get them some real decorations, some real fireworks to set up.
Like, now we can afford it.
Yeah, it's these weird props everybody else got.
They're like, since we snuck into the venue, we didn't have to pay for the venue, but we can pay for sparklers.
We hacked the gate and came on in.
Right. So now it's the wedding night. She said his parents were lovely. And he talks about how they met at a refugee camp after they met, war struck their homeland, and they met at a refugee camp in New Orleans. So they're kind of getting to know each other a little bit. They do find a bowl of condoms. They kind of joke about like, what do they want us to do with this?
Which he found out on After Party were extra large and Ben could not use them. I don't know why you would admit that on national TV, but okay.
They are determined to leave nothing to the imagination.
Nothing at all.
He talks about his birthday is at midnight, so he's open to like if she's gonna. She's open to giving him some.
He said his birthday was at 12 p.m. Gifts. He said his birthday was at 12 p.m.
Say 12 p.m.
And I think you got that a little mixed up, buddy. Aren't you supposed to be an engineer? Right? Don't you know how time works?
I did write 12 p.m. and I was like, no, there's no way he said
I wrote 12 p.m. question mark.
Yes, literally he said 12 p.m.
We can't forget your favorite part, though. He slow-mo takes his shirt off as he's getting ready for bed. I wrote that down just for you. I said, parentheses, Asia's favorite part.
My favorite part of the season so far. Yeah, they do talk about how they do like to sleep. He normally sleeps in just boxers. And they talk about like the air conditioning situation at their own places. Like he doesn't use the air at his place because it's a studio. He doesn't know if he snores, but they're just going to bed. Nothing happens. We find that out. They do not consummate their marriage. But she did kick him, which he felt the need to say.
Yeah. You kicked me a lot. Right? Your Muay Thai. I'm scared of you.
Oh my gosh. So she did a really sweet gesture. She got him some, like these little cupcakes or whatever with 30 candles. I mean,
mommy wasn't there, so somebody had to bring him the birthday cake. Okay.
I thought it was odd that she was like, even though, you know, we're here do it for your birthday, I feel like we should still celebrate it. Duh. What do you think we're just going to skip over your today?
You think the day after my wedding trumps my birthday?
It's still a birthday. Okay.
It's not even like Big Brother. Like I can still call my family. They can still wish me happy birthday. Like it's not like I'm sequestered.
Right.
I contact with people.
Yeah. He has a phone. As we saw with Mitch. And so turns out he didn't even get to eat them. He sat on them.
Yeah.
Weird. So don't know how that happened. But yeah, they're in bed.
He also talked about how he ate in his sleep on after party, but he doesn't eat in his sleep. He like eats the air and thinks he's eating.
Yeah.
It's a weird cat, man.
Because he's so fit. And so they're sitting in bed or they're laying in bed because he has the little cupcakes. He's like, dang, I turned 30. I got a wife. Like I'm about to go on a honeymoon. I can't lose right now.
Ben is living life.
He's so funny.
Oh my gosh. So dreamy and funny. I'm so scared for Muay Thai.
Oh, Jason, I can't get through this. I'm crying laughing. Oh my gosh. Okay, so he's in a confessional and he's like, we were talking about consummating our marriage, but we were too tired. And she interrupts the interview in the back. He's like, oh, she wants to beep. She's like, keep trying me. He's like, no, she wants to.
She gave him a death stare. Like,
yeah.
I think she's like serious.
Right. Which actually foreshadowing to the next time on where she's like, I feel like you betrayed my trust. Yep. And she's crying. He's like, sorry, which I can only assume that they do consummate. And then he shares with the boys.
Yep.
So they're packed. They decide, okay, like, well, we're getting ready for honeymoon. They pack. He throws the condoms in his bag.
Can't waste these free condoms because I'm cheap.
Oh my gosh. And so they go to Puerto Vallarta and they meet the other couples finally. So that was it. Imagine if all the wedding segments were that quick.
Yes. Yeah, so you get them all done in less than an episode. I would love it.
Right. So before we get into the group boat date, how are you feeling about Morgan and Ben?
They're boring. Like
we are rating if they're going to stay together get married or stay married. Is Jason entertained or is he not?
I thought you wanted to know if I liked them or not. Sorry.
I know you're bored.
Unless they're not interesting, they're boring. I want to rate them a 2 because I don't feel any chemistry. I don't see any compatibility here.
No.
I don't see it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Even though I'm shocked at your 2, I'm going to maintain my 3 because I just don't know with them already having an argument on day 4 or whatever day it's going to be when she's feels that her trust was betrayed or broken or whatever. I don't know how she is going to bounce back from that. You know,
based on the whole season previews, this seems like something's going to happen. Linger for the whole season because a few times during that preview he's like, I'm trying to win you back, I'm trying to get you back.
Right. It's just like that's not going to help if he's constantly trying to prove himself to her for 8 weeks because of one oversharing incident. Imagine if Alexis felt that way every time Justin overshared.
Oh Lord. She had to tell Morgan and Ben once again that Justin was celibate. She had to just blurt this out to everybody.
It has to. So I'm gonna maintain my theory. I do think there's something there. Like, I think do that you? They can.
I
have
saw nothing.
Yes,
you saw some chemistry there.
I did. I feel like she is really attracted to him. And he's kind of smitten a little bit. Like, I think he finds her attractive, but he's also a tad intimidated because she's more dominant than what he's probably used to. And so I think it's a matter of trying to figure out, like, can this work?
I think they're going to make good friends once this is all over.
Well, yeah, if he's constantly having to prove himself to her.
And I kind of also think Ben is a robot.
No, he's so funny and sweet. Listen,
I'm scared of Muay Thai. They programmed that phrase into his like memory banks like 1,000 times. They programmed that. They programmed his parents' little story from 1975. I will never forget that Ben's parents met in 1975. That's one thing I will never forget for the rest of my life. I will never forget that he's cheap. I will never forget that he is a mama's boy. Because those are the four functions they have programmed into Ben the robot.
Look, I need you next episode. I challenge you. Episode 6, to find the small comments he makes. He is funny. He makes these little comments that's outside of his programming that shows that he's a fun guy.
I think that he thinks he's funny.
I think he's funny. Mari probably thinks he's funny.
Of course, Mari would disagree with me and agree with you. That's her thing.
So I gave him a 3. You gave him a 2. So they did do a boat date where all the couples were together. And a couple highlights out of there were Alexis was like, Morgan and Ben, they just look so fresh.
Yeah.
Like, nice. Okay. So
we'll end that. They were like, Morgan and Ben, you guys look so fresh. And then Morgan was like, well, how are you guys doing? Well, did I tell you they're just a celibate? Like, oh, and there's weird talk of how when they do break the celibacy, that things are going to be epic.
Yes.
And they talk about breaking Alexis's back and her walking with a limp. And it's
a lot
more Alexis and Justin talk.
Right. So then they do separate the girls and the guys so they can have their own talk. So when all the girls are together, we learn that Sasha, she doesn't know her father. So she is changing her last name. She's like, whether it works out with Justin or not, I'm changing it. I'm probably going to keep it.
Nate.
What did I say? Justin. Yes, yeah. Nate. So she's taking Nate's last name. She's like, whether we stay together or not, I'm going to be a Barnes.
This is a weird, weird thing to me. Like, okay, it seemed like she and her mom have a good relationship. Why didn't she just
take her mom's last name?
Maybe their relationship has just recently been repaired or something. I don't know.
Maybe that's a lot of name changes. You got to change if she wants to change it to Nate's because they're getting married because she just wanted to do that. And then she has to change it to her mom's. That's 3 names. And it sounds like she has a lot of assets to keep track of. It's a lot of paperwork.
I guess. Yeah. But she said, I'm keeping Barnes even if we divorce. Like,
right.
Sasha Barnes has a nice ring to it.
It does. And then like in response to that, Morgan's like, yeah, you took the power away from a man that you didn't know. And I was like, that's exactly how she felt about her dad, like not walking her down the aisle.
Yeah.
So, forgot about that. And Alexis, she's next to speak and she's like, yeah, like, she's trying to relate. And she's like, I know my father. And she pauses. She's like, wait, I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
I thought it was a very weird moment. I was like,
it was.
I didn't come across as me as anything like, you know, vindictive or like any way that could be taken as an insult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like she misread the situation because Sasha wasn't even thinking that.
And then it made Sasha think about it even more. And
yes, she started crying. Yeah. Yes. She's like, I'm just thinking about how, you know, that. You know, the situation, not what you said, but Alexis lingering on it made her feel the feelings deeper.
And then she blamed it on Justin. Oh, yeah, Justin's making me feel emotional now.
Yeah. She's like, Justin's making me start considering other people's feelings.
You've known him for 3 days.
They're in love.
Oh my gosh. This person's changed you fundamentally in 3 days.
Right. Lindy's still testing out the water. She doesn't share too much. Morgan said Ben's been like on her butt 24/7.
Yeah, this was interesting.
Yeah.
we didn't see that at all.
I know. I'm like, what has it been? A day and a half? Like,
what? Yeah. When did you have time for this? On the plane? Right. Like,
exactly. So then it's time for Kristen to share, and they're like, hey, we feel like you have to say something. She's like, look, I thought we were going to get some, like, a little bit more private time with just us girls. She's like, I'll save it for tomorrow. But trust me, you're going to want to hear it.
I'd be like, no, girl, spill it now. Like, they just over there. Just speak quietly.
Somebody finally being realistic, thinking that, oh, we just stepped two paces away. They can't hear us.
Like, no, girl, just whisper. I want to hear it.
Right. Let's go in the water.
Right. Text me.
Because Sasha is ready to hear. She's very excited.
Sasha knows Mishta messed up. She wanted to know.
Right. So over with the guys. Justin admits that he said he loves her. And that's when we get Nate saying, like, yeah, he's just impressed with his wife. And he's very excited. I just don't think he knows what he's feeling.
Yeah, good call out from Nate. That was put it in very good words there.
Yes. Miguel says that Lindy is a sweetheart, but he wants to have sex. He's like, look, if, you know, we want to have the meaning behind to have sex, I'm okay having mediocre sex.
Oh my gosh, what a creep and a perv. Like,
desperate.
Jeez, man.
Oh man. Nate, he says that they have not consummated their marriage, but they have taken a shower together. So
they've had their needs met, I think.
Yeah.
As Miguel would say.
Right. Ben can see himself falling in love. He says she gets good massages. He does bring up how she doesn't want kids, though, and that is a concern for him. So,
they ask him. He's like, yeah, she's cool. It's like, oh, that's quite a ringing endorsement.
Right. Then Mitch had the nerve to say, I kind of see Ben and Morgan similar to me and Kristen, where we're kind of the wild cards.
Not even close.
Where do you come off thinking you're anything similar to Ben and Morgan? Ben and Morgan are happy right now. What are y'all doing?
Right. Like, Ben does not look like he wants to be put out of his misery every time he's around Morgan. I will give him that.
Yes.
Even me, who doesn't see the chemistry, does not look like he wants to be murdered when he's around his wife at all times.
Exactly. Mitch does explain the situation. Like, after the tequila, I was pretty fired up. And, whatever that means. Hopefully we find that out next episode.
I don't think we'll get specifics. I think they're going to leave it at, like, he made a move. I got fired up. I think they'll leave it at that. Because
I think our assumption is correct. Like, things were getting a little hot and heavy. They were, I mean, like, probably kissing and stuff. And then Mitch wanted to go further and she stopped it.
Yeah, I think that's probably about it. I think probably, you know. Never mind. I was about to get weird again, but okay.
You're about to get a Justin level of oversharing.
Exactly. Justin is inspiring me in a bad way.
He's inspiring Alexis. He's inspiring you.
He's a cult leader. He's like, he's getting your head.
Oh gosh. So that was episode 5. My stomach hurts from laughing. Where can people find you, Jason?
You can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. Not going to be a big cross section, I don't think, but you can check me out on the 32 Fans podcast. I'll be talking about the preseason hopes of the Ravens NFL football. So any Ravens fans out there, any fellow Baltimoreans, check that out. That's where I'll be. I think it's coming out next week, probably. So check that out. I don't know how many of you are going to be into that, but that's one of the things I'll be. I have some other stuff coming up, but I think probably next week I can unveil some of my plans.
Oh, nice. Look at you. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. That's AYSHA like ASIA. Continuing to hop in here and there for Big Brother 24 coverage. And then, of course, here every week. Thank you so much to Will from America for the amazing theme song. And of course, Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes and Rob Sesternino for giving us a platform. Thank you to everyone. Yes.
The Daddy Network himself.
Right. So everyone, until next week, we will talk to you then. Bye.
If I told you I found you a perfect match, chosen by science, but you had to marry them right this second, you would tell me, well, that sounds pretty whack. And I would add, you have 8 weeks to know if you really love them. You just got married at first sight. Jason and Asia gonna tell you.